This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. As of now, we are looking at 13,010 cases of coronavirus known in Louisiana, with 477 deaths. If Louisiana were a country, we would rank 14th in the world in the number of coronavirus cases. Right now, we're 5th in the United States, and of course, all the states in the top 10 are big states. We are not, so it has particularly hit us in a profound way, and it has hit New Orleans in a profound way. Of the 13,010 cases in the six parishes of Orleans, Jefferson, St. Tammany, St. Charles, St. Bernard, and St. James, there are 8,573 cases. That's 66%, 65.9 to be exact. And of the 477 deaths, 315 in those six parishes in the greater New Orleans metro, 66.0% in the number of deaths. So about two-thirds of the people who have been afflicted and those who have died are in New Orleans. And the crown jewel of Louisiana is facing another immense challenge, and this is expected to be a tough week. And with us to talk about this is a man who is as New Orleans as anyone, the fabulous singer Philip Manuel. He's been with us many times, and we've lost some people in the music industry as well in the last few days, and that's primarily why Philip is here. But for those who have never heard him, here's a biography from one observer of the immense talent of Mr. Manuel. The voice of jazz vocalist Philip Manuel is described as smooth, soothing, sophisticated, and soulful. It is all that and more. The elegant style of Philip Manuel fits in well with venues where listeners tend to find him, classy hotels and clubs in his native New Orleans and all around the world, as well as events such as the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival and the Satchmo Festival, gigging with jazz greats like Terrence Blanchard and Bill Summers. And speaking of jazz legends, we lost the legendary patriarch of the Marcellus family, Ellis Marcellus, 85 years old, died last week. And it was from coronavirus. And Philip Manuel, you being in the music game in the city of New Orleans, I know you rub shoulders with this great man, and what a distinct loss this is for the state and for music as a whole.
Yeah, it really is, Jim. The last time I saw Ellis was probably about a year and a few months ago. We worked on a song that was used in a movie, and Ellis played the piano. It's probably been about a year and a half. The movie was called Camera Store, and I played the piano player in a mall, and I sing, and Ellis actually is the one playing the piano. So we had to come to the studio and do a couple of tracks, but that was the last time I saw him. And he was moving a lot slower even then. You know, Ellis was in his mid-80s, I believe, when he passed.
85. And it is rare that a legend like Ellis Marcellus has children who are equally famous and, let's face it, even more well-known than he and just as talented. And that doesn't always happen. It doesn't happen in sports, and it doesn't happen in the music industry that often.
No, it's pretty amazing that not only did most of his kids go into music, but they're all not just talented. They're all pretty much virtuosos. They're all pretty much prodigies from birth.
Uh-huh.
Pretty rare. It is pretty rare.
In the story that was in The Advocate last Thursday, it says in the 1960s, Marcellus was part of the house band at the Playboy Club in the French Quarter, then joined trumpeter Al Hertz Band, then Bob French's Storyville Jazz Band, and he also recorded with Cannonball and Nat Adderley. He was a teacher at Xavier, and became an adjunct professor where he taught classes in African-American music and jazz improvisation, attended graduate school at Loyola on the G.I. Bill. What a great life he had.
I was surprised to hear that he played in a hotel lounge for, you just don't think of Ellis in a hotel lounge, but I guess, you know, when you got to make a living, you know, we all have done it. You know, I certainly had my time in hotel lounges.
Yeah, I remember you holding court for a while at the Windsor Court.
at the Windsor Court. I played at the Sheraton for a couple of years in their lobby. But it was just so surprising to read that about Ellis. You know, I mean, such a great musician with so much prodigious talent. But I guess you got to make a living.
Well, his wife Dolores died in 2017. Ellis Marsalis is survived by sons Branford, Winton, Ellis III, Delfeo, and Jason. And
they have another son, Mboya.
Mboya Kenyatta. So, yeah.
Mboya Kenyatta, right.
Quite a bunch of talented kids. And usually when an icon like Ellis Marsalis dies in New Orleans, there's a big second-line parade, funeral, and it goes on. The celebration, if you will, goes on for weeks. Because of coronavirus, Canal Street and the French Quarter, they're dead right now.
Yeah, I suspect that there, you know, his family, when this is all over, I suspect there will be a major tribute to him, not only here, but I'm sure in other places of the world where his kids are, where like where Winton is, I'm sure he'll do something for his dad. But certainly here in New Orleans, I suspect there's going to be a major, major celebration of his life when this is all over.
And Philip, I mentioned how this has afflicted New Orleans, where you hold court and have since the day you were born, one of the world's great cities, and a city like no other, and unfortunately a city that has been besieged by tragedies. Obviously hurricanes, Katrina in particular, have nailed New Orleans. You and I are old enough to remember Hurricane Betsy, and now we have this, where New Orleans has become the epicenter of coronavirus. How are you handling it from a physical standpoint and just from a morale standpoint?
Well, you know, the human being is remarkably adaptive. I simply had to find a new routine, and you establish new routines and you try and keep those routines going to keep your sanity. Whereas I used to get up every morning and go to Starbucks for coffee at 6:30 every morning and meet my gang there, and we'd talk until 8 o'clock or 8:15 or so before we all went to work. Now I can't do that. So I have a different, you know, different routine now. I get up, I make myself a cup of tea. I generally have a piece of toast with it. I'll watch a little television, and then I'll kind of try and settle in for work, you know, doing a little real estate work, a little PR work. So you just give yourself new routines. And I'm basically, I don't go outside without a mask. And I do have gloves, but I don't go outside without a mask. And I really don't go out as much as I did. I only go to the store, and every now and then I'll go to my office because there's nobody in my office but me.
New Orleans, as we noted, is a resilient city with a resilient people, fabulous people in New Orleans. How are they handling this? These are people who ordinarily would love to be out in the masses and socializing and loving life and savoring it to the maximum they can, and now they're for the most part locked up. What's going on?
Well, I you know, work-wise, economy-wise, of course, things are the same way all over the country. But what I've noticed here in New Orleans are a lot of people out and about during... Isn't it crazy that we've had this unbelievable weather during this pandemic?
It is.
I mean, the weather has been so fantastic. I see families out now. You know, you'll see a family of three or four, mother, dad, and their two kids. And they'll be out together in close contact, but everybody's staying away from each other. But a lot of people are out on the bayou walking, out on the lakefront walking, in the neighborhoods walking. People aren't staying; they're staying in, as they should. But when they do go out, they're keeping their distance.
I've had people say they've been to the French Quarter, and it never looked more beautiful with no people. You don't appreciate the majesty of the French Quarter when you've got all those revelers around. But when you're just walking around, it is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, then you can really get a look at the architecture, the way the buildings were built. You can read the signs on a lot of these old buildings and get the history involved in the French Quarter. I'm sure it is different. I haven't been down there, but I'm sure it's got to be different.
Philip Manuel is our guest, one of the great singers in the world. He calls New Orleans home. And for those who have been following coronavirus, the parish of Orleans has 4,368 of the 13,010 cases in Louisiana and 161 of the 477 deaths. But the six parish area of Orleans, Jefferson, St. Tammany, St. Charles, St. Bernard, St. James have 66% of the cases in Louisiana and 66% of the deaths. We'll talk with Philip Manuel about a great singer, one of his favorites and my favorites, who died last week, last Friday, a Hall of Famer, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Bill Withers. We'll be back after this quick timeout with more Talk Louisiana.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away. Ain't no sunshine when she's gone, and she's always gone too long. Anytime she goes away, wonder this time where she's gone.
The distinctive and amazing talent of one Bill Withers, and the gentleman we're visiting with on Talk Louisiana, Philip Manuel, does Bill Withers' music about as well as anybody on the planet, and I'm sure his well-known songs will take a new life now, Philip.
Yeah, man, I'll miss him. I'm a Bill Withers fan, you know, and he had such a short career. I mean, when you think about his career, he basically walked away from all of his success after just a few years. You know, he came back here and there to do tribute concerts and stuff like that, but he was a man of great integrity and just wrote songs that will forever stand the test of time. Lean On Me, Hello Like Before, Ain't No Sunshine. I mean, there's so many of them. Grandma's Hand.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's fantastic.
He spent 9 years in the service, quit the Navy in 1965 while stationed in California.
Fixing toilets.
Pardon?
Fixing toilets.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Installing toilets.
That's
things
right.
Like that.
Well, in the a great obit in the New York Times, it says a visit to a nightclub to see Lou Rawls perform was the catalyst for changing his life. He says, I was making $3 an hour looking for friendly women, but nobody found me interesting. Then Rawls walked in and all these women were talking to him. And so he bought a cheap guitar at a pawn shop. And the rest, as they say, is history. Ain't No Sunshine,
yeah,
which you just heard, was the plan, or it was the B-side to Harlem. And he said, I was watching the movie The Days of Wine and Roses, looked out the window, and it crossed my mind. Probably some girl had left me, but ego preservation has taught me to avoid inconvenient truths. That from the great Bill
Withers.
Wow,
what a line.
Yeah.
What a line.
What's your favorite Bill Withers song?
Probably Hello Like Before.
And
you know that song? Hello,
yeah,
like
I do.
Before.
I've heard you.
Yeah. I'm infatuated with that song. It's just the lyrics are beautiful, the melody is beautiful, and whoever did the arrangement on his version of that song, the strings and the horns, it's just a gorgeous, gorgeous song. I love it. It's my favorite.
Now, the other night I heard Brian Williams of NBC say that his favorite was Who Is He and What Is
and
He
what is
to
you?
You? Before we hear
I
from...
I like that one, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I really like that one. That's you know, all about walking up on the wrong person at the wrong time. I think Bill was with, you know, when he wrote that song. So... Jim?
Yeah, we're giving him a little bit of a listen right now, and that's the song we were talking about.
I don't know who he is, but I think that you do. Dadgum it, who is he and what is he to you? I have something in
those lyrics are amazing, and I bet you know them by heart, Philip Manuel.
Oh, yeah, I do. I do. You know why? His lyrics, it's funny, but because he was such a great lyricist, his lyrics are easy to learn and remember. Now, you take a song where the lyrics don't say nearly as much, it's so hard to remember those inane, silly lyrics. But for a serious song like Hello Like Before, I mean, once you lock those lyrics into your head, or who is he and what is he to you, you never forget them. It's like Lush Life. You never forget the lyrics to Lush Life once you learn Lush Life.
You mentioned that he just kind of went away, and he could have made a fortune performing at casinos. He chose not to.
Yeah. Yeah, he was, you know, he didn't like the record company. I was reading that at one point the record company told him his music wasn't commercial enough and this and that. And he never, you know, succumbed to their wishes. He always wrote and played and sang the kind of music that was natural and true to him. And I guess at a certain point, he just decided, you know, enough was enough, and he just walked away from it.
Not many people do that. Not many at all.
No.
But in 2015, great photo of him and Stevie Wonder. He was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And yep, he's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame as well.
And he was a remarkable talent. And for those of us who lived through the 70s, he was as big a star as anybody. Married briefly to Denise Nicholas, the actress, yep, who once lived in New Orleans. And that one didn't work out. But Bill Withers had an amazing life, born in West Virginia, and an unlikely superstar, but he, as mentioned, got in the Navy, served in California, was cleaning toilets, and this man from Slab Fork, West Virginia, became a superstar. His mother was a maid, and his father worked in the coal mines.
Isn't that something? Just goes to show you, Jim. It doesn't matter, man. It's about what the good Lord gives you, you know?
Well, Philip, as we part company with you for this time, and we'll, of course, be calling again, you chose a song that you liked better than all the other Bill Withers selections, and Matt Doyle, our producer, has pulled it up. So here we go.
All right.
Thank you, my man.
Thank you, Jim.
Hello, like before. I'd never come here if I'd known that you were here. I must admit, though, that it's nice to see you, dear. You look like you've been doing well. Hello, like before. I hope we've grown, 'cause we were only children then. For laughs, I guess we both can say I knew you when.
Bill Withers, gone at 81. Tom Dempsey, another New Orleanian, his 63-yard field goal on November 8, 1970. It was the longest kick in the NFL at that time, breaking the previous record by 7 yards. He died with coronavirus at the Lambeth House in Uptown New Orleans. He's one of at least 15 residents to succumb to coronavirus. He was 73 years old, born with no toes on his right foot. He had an unusual shoe that helped him, of course, but when his shoe was brought into question by his amazing kicking exploits, Dempsey responded by saying that few others could have accomplished what he did in his career, and doing it with no toes was quite substantial. And we'll be back with Mary Patricia Ray on Talk Louisiana after this quick timeout for the news.